This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of my good friend Rosalind Peterson. And we're going to be talking about geoengineering of the atmosphere. Now, certainly it's very difficult for people to believe that things are going on that you're never going to read about in the public media, you're never going to hear about on television or routine television or hear discussed on the mainline radio networks, although you will hear about it on alternative networks. But basically today, they are certainly poisoning our water. They're poisoning it certainly with fluoride. They're poisoning it with aluminum, which is precipitating from the sky, and other items, barium and strontium, that precipitating from the sky. They're certainly poisoning our food with aspartame, with bisphenol, with various chemicals that they put into the food, certainly by adding recombinant of the growth hormone, bovine growth hormone, giving it to the cows, and then they turn out milk, just churn it out, but has high doses of estrogen, markedly increases the incidence of cancer of the prostate, cancer certainly of the breast, cancer of the testicle, and then, of course, they are encouraging people to eat large sums of amounts of soy, which, of course, is carcinogenic, and so many of our drugs that they're giving us are harmful, and then, of course, the high fructose corn syrup and the genetically modified food and the nanotechnology and nanoparticles they're adding to so many of our food. They know what they're doing. Certainly the glutamate, monosodium glutamate and other glutamates they put in the food, they know what they're doing. The scientists know about it. Those who speak out are going to lose their jobs, and most of them are afraid to because they know there'll be retaliation if they ever let the public know what's going on. But, of course, one of the most disastrous things today is they're poisoning the air we breathe. And they're doing this certainly by geoengineering techniques. And the person who knows more about the geoengineering techniques and has all of the government documents and congressional hearings on this up on our website is our guest this evening, Rosalind Peterson. Rosalind, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for asking me to be a guest on your show today. It's wonderful.
Well, basically, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? Because you've actually worked in soil and farming and agriculture for many years. Why don't you give your background, and then we'll get into what they're really doing.
Well, my background, I was born and raised on a working farm in Mendocino County. It had crops on it like apples and pears and peaches and cherries, those type of things. We had walnuts, and we grew our own vegetables on the farm. We had crops, hay crops, and different types of crops. So we had enough so that I had a huge background in agriculture crop production. Then I went on later to work for the Mendocino County Department of Agriculture and also for the United States Department of Agriculture for many years as a crop loss adjuster, where I traveled to many counties looking at crop losses for the state and determining the reasons for those losses. So my background is wide and varied, and I'm concerned about geoengineering, as Dr. Stan and I have talked about many times.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment as we get into what geoengineering is and how it impacts on you and your health. Go right ahead, Rosalind.
Well, geoengineering is a term that many people have not heard of or are unfamiliar with.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's PROPAX.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
To the end of the stratosphere, and so they do increase the amount of water there to actually to try to produce artificial clouds to add other various particulate matter to the atmosphere, the idea of creating a dome up above the Earth that will act like like a greenhouse and reflect the sunlight. Now, of course, the trouble is there's a fallacy in that because of greenhouses. Actually, it is the glass above the greenhouse that traps the heat. And in a greenhouse, it's warmer. And so basically what they want to do is put a reflective shield, but it's probably a lot more heat gets in than is going to get out. So what they're doing is increasing global warming, at least in my estimation, rather than decreasing it. But this is being done by some of the smartest and wealthiest people in the world. And Rosa was just talking about where you can actually check and see this. And a lot of this is being funded by Bill Gates, who, of course, is dedicated to population reduction. He really believes there are too many people in the world. He is funding vaccine programs all throughout the world to bring about population control. But he is also funding, putting a great deal of money into geoengineering. But why don't you tell our listeners where they can find this on your websites?
Okay. My website is agriculturedefensecoalition.org, and if you click on the categories section, you will find an alphabetical listing of many, many items that are on the website, and there's two sections on geoengineering. And if you go to the section on geoengineering schemes, you will find a section on Bill Gates, and you will find where it states that he has been funding David Keith, formerly of University of Calgary, and Ken Caldera from the Carnegie Institution for Science, for projects at Planet Cooling Technologies. And there's a San Francisco-based company called Silver Lining Project, and they're giving money and to this project, and it planned to do the first Cloud Brightning pilot test, where they would take use 10 ships and the machines, carrying machines that can convert seawater into tiny particles that, blown up to the cloud level in the atmosphere, they would spray mist across the seawater mist across 3,800 miles of ocean. And it's a large-scale modification to form these man-made clouds in order to reflect direct sunlight back into space.
Well, now, how would they actually spray this? Would they use rockets? Would they use some sort of tankers of some sort? How would they actually spray this water into the atmosphere?
Well, they would use ships with these machines that would, in other words, blow this seawater up into the air. And there's several photographs on my website of these devices where they would pull the water from the ocean in big pumps and then shoot them into the air. And seawater has salt particulates, and by putting salt particulates into the clouds, they whiten the clouds, and therefore what they're going to do is to make them more reflective. What they failed to note is that these clouds will move toward the land areas, and if they rain out with all of this salt, that the salt could poison our soils. They could get into our drinking water supplies because we need fresh water. They can ruin, over a period of time, soil for crop production and growing things. So, but this seems to not be daunting them at all. They feel that they should be able to change the weather through this one particular program.
All right, but what, Cindy, are there other programs where they've actually put aluminum and aluminum oxide and barium and strontium up there into the atmosphere? Are there any programs that we know of where they've actually put this particulate matter in large quantities into the atmosphere for geoengineering?
Well, they didn't call it geoengineering, but the U.S. Navy in 2009 put an aluminum oxide dust cloud over the entire eastern seaboard of the United States in conjunction with NASA. And this is on my website, and it was called CARE, C-A-R-E, Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. And if you go to my website and you go to the U.S. Navy section, you can scroll to the bottom of the page and you can actually see the Navy film and the NASA film of this experiment of them putting this rocket up. And they did this via a rocket, and they sprayed this aluminum oxide dust cloud. Many people saw it because it was a big production when they did this in 2009. So they already know, and they've already put up aluminum oxide into our atmosphere. NASA and the U.S. Air Force do trimethyl aluminum projects, or night clouds, where they put up trimethyl aluminum into the atmosphere and conduct atmospheric experiments with this. NASA has also been engaged, not only using the space shuttle but rockets, in putting up barium. They put up strontium. They put up sulfur hexafluoride into the atmosphere. They can create man-made auroras in Alaska and other areas. And they have using these chemicals. And they also have produced a lot of chemical contamination, because when they put these chemicals like aluminum oxide into the air, they do return back to Earth over a period of time, polluting the air, the water, and the soil.
Well, now it's my understanding that there have been at least 3 congressional hearings on geoengineering. And what did they find out from that? Would anybody admit that they'd actively done spraying, or simply were they just talking about the fact that they were thinking about it, or they were contemplating doing it, or they were considering doing it? What was brought out at the congressional hearings, and what do we know about what they're doing? Is it possible they're doing things and not admitting it?
Oh, that's quite possible, yes. The U.S. House Science and Technology Committee and the U.K. Parliament signed an agreement in which they were going to work on geoengineering and global geoengineering governance. And they each held a series of hearings. The UK Parliament held 3 hearings at the U.S. House of Representatives Science and Technology hearing between 2009 and 2010, held 3 hearings. But what they did, it was very interesting. They only invited people that wanted to promote geoengineering to these hearings. They didn't invite any other scientists. They didn't invite ocean scientists, marine biologists. They didn't invite anyone from the Department of Agriculture. They didn't invite anyone to come and participate or testify that would talk about the impacts on water supplies, human health, tree health, anything. So when they talked about putting up sulfur particulates or aluminum oxide, they said, oh, this is risky, and we have unintended consequences, but we must do the research in order to reduce the amount of direct sunlight reaching the Earth. So this was supposedly to cool us off. And in the hearings, they were a farce because they allowed no one to participate that would say, no, this is not a good idea. We shouldn't be doing these experiments, or to talk about the devastation that this would cause to agriculture crop production from lack of direct sunlight reaching the earth, the human health impacts of a lack of vitamin D from not getting enough sunlight on our skin. They didn't want to talk about anything that would disrupt the drama that we have to do this type of experimentation and these types of programs.
Well, of course, the thing is that apparently a lot of the studies, as you pointed out, show that the amount of aluminum in our soil is increasing. Certainly the amount of aluminum or aluminum oxide found in the blubber of whales is increasing. This would appear to be the amount of aluminum in the barks of trees is increasing, and certainly we're having real impact as far as agriculture, as far as trees. This is here in California. We know this is true over in Hawaii. Basically, do you think they're actually putting up aluminum now? Are they doing this through rockets, or how are they putting it up? Or do they concede that they've done this at all? Obviously there's some way that something they've done that has increased the amount of aluminum in the atmosphere, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, do we have any idea what they've done and what they will admit to?
Well, we know that rocket experiments have put up a tremendous amount of aluminum oxide into the atmosphere over the years, as well as barium and other chemicals. And there's a tremendous record of this on the NASA website, the U.S. Air Force website, the Navy website. They all talk about it, and it has been discussed.
All right, so they admit that they've actually put the particulate matter up there. Are they concerned at all that it might be dangerous? And we'll be back in just a moment. Rosalind, are they concerned that what they have done might be dangerous?
They never talk about it, and the reason that they never want to talk about it
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Wanting to find out, certainly, what, of course, contaminants were in the ocean. And, of course, they found contaminants. They found things like mercury and other things. But what they were surprised to find was skyrocketing levels of aluminum. And, of course, this is on Roslyn's website. You're not going to hear this sort of thing. Now, aluminum is one of the most toxic poisons we have. And what was it about? 2,000% or 2,000% above what they'd anticipate. What was the levels of aluminum they got, Roslyn?
Well, let me go do one thing first here. They admitted that the aluminum can induce reproductive and developmental effects. So it raises concerns about its effect on whale reproduction. And the fact that the levels were so high in the lung tissues possibly raises concerns about its effect on whale respiration. They found levels of chromium. They talk about the health effects of chromium. They talked about the levels of a whole list of what these high levels mean. They talked about mercury and selenium as being high in whales as well. So all of these things that they discussed within various, they found lead, they found cadmium. So our oceans are becoming, through the food chain, because whales eat smaller animals and they graze, so we know that they're getting lots of things. And they also noticed that there were nanomaterials of silver, gold, and titanium that were found in these whales as well. So I wanted to talk about this in relationship to that as we put more chemicals and particles into the atmosphere, they're going into our oceans. And they're also, if they go into the oceans, all the oceans of the world, then they're going to be picked up on land as well. And we're going to be experiencing some of the same effects.
And, of course, this is being done not accidentally, by intentionally, but intentionally. Those of you who don't know too much about aluminum, I will tell you it is a very toxic substance. We have an excellent DVD by our good friend, Dr. David Ayoub. It's just on aluminum. Now, of course, he's talking about it because they put aluminum into the vaccines that we give to our children, and that is toxic for them. But certainly, we're putting it into the atmosphere. It's into the water. Certainly, if it's in the water, it's going to get into the fish. And when we eat fish, why, we're going to get it. And so we're being constantly exposed to toxic and highly toxic levels of aluminum, and you're not even hearing about this. This is one of the already very important things that Roslyn is pointing out. But this whole geoengineering approach involves putting aluminum oxide in massive quantities, tons and tons and tons, into the stratosphere and ionosphere. Would that be an accurate appraisal, Roslyn?
Yes, but they're not doing it by the ton. They're going to be putting it up by the megaton, according to David Keith. And it's going to be constant all the time. They have to keep the particulates in the atmosphere because the particulates over time float back down to Earth. And that means that they want to keep them up, reflecting away direct sunlight from reaching the Earth. Well, we're already putting up aluminum particulates through rockets, even in the exhaust fuel for rockets. Every time we shoot off a rocket or a missile, aluminum oxide is one of the byproducts of those flights, because that's what's in the fuel. They need it to have a high enough form of combustion to drive the rocket into the air. And in addition, with their experiments that have been ongoing in the past, they're going to be doing even more in the future.
Well, now, is there any aluminum in the jet fuel? They added that. Certainly some people have suggested there is at least some element of aluminum in jet fuel. It makes it burn better. Is there truth to that?
No, I think it's it would ruin a jet engine, and they don't need that much force to move a jet engine, unlike a rocket. So
right.
You're finding aluminum particulates in rocket fuel.
All right, fine. So the aluminum particulate would be primarily coming from rocket fuels, but we're shooting up those rockets all the time. And, well, we'll be back in just a moment with Ross and Peterson.
This This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Invita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
These are very, very toxic substances, but that is primarily in the jet fuel rather than the, primarily in the rocket fuel rather than the jet fuel. Go right ahead, Roslyn.
That's correct. So we're exposed to these. They're showing increases in drinking water supplies, drinking water tests throughout California and other states in these contaminants in our water, in lettuce. It's spreading all over. People report the testing done in Canada shows that these chemicals are in Canada as well in their produce. So we're being exposed to more and more chemicals as we put them up into the atmosphere, and in that medium, it travels and it spreads these chemicals all over.
All right. Are we finding higher levels of aluminum in the soil today?
Yes, we are.
And has that changed the pH of the soil, and how does that damage the soil? How does that damage crops? How does that damage trees?
Well, when you have more aluminum in the soil, it has several effects. When it changes the pH, then certain plants and crops are not going to grow well or respond to growing in aluminum soil. And that's why Monsanto and other companies are making genetically engineered crops that will grow. They're aluminum resistant, and they will grow in those types of soils. But there's no way for them to have enough crops that would be aluminum resistant so that we would have the variety of plants and species and foods that we do now. In addition, when you have too much aluminum in the soil, you start to have it get into the tree roots and be absorbed by the tree roots. When that happens, the trees can no longer absorb enough water, and they can't absorb enough nutrients to survive for a long period of time. And they slowly almost strangle to death, looking like they're strangling from lack of water in a drought condition. So the impact of these chemicals that they're releasing into the atmosphere not only give us acid rains, which kill our trees, but they're also having other effects once they get into the soil as well.
Well, now, and is this influencing our trees, our tree crops? What is this doing to the pines and other trees in our forests?
Well, we're having stunning tree decline here in Mendocino County and other areas, in which the manzanita, the Doug fir, the oak with or without sudden oak death syndrome, many, many types of trees. The redwoods are beginning to have an effect, showing declines. Some of the trees are dying from the top down. Other trees are dying from the roots up. And we're having all kinds of molds, mildews, and other symptoms as well that were not seen here historically, because we have so changed the environment now that we're stressing them. And we're adding, changing the pH. We're changing the rainfall, what's in the rain. And this is having its effect, I think, on the trees and the plants. We also know that the jets, when they produce these persistent jet contrails that make these man-made clouds, we know that these that this process changes the weather, reduces the amount of direct sunlight reaching the earth, and this cloud cover, in doing that, then reduces photosynthesis, where you have a need for direct sunlight to reach the earth to give the trees and plants the strength and the power to grow tall and strong and produce crops. So this idea that we're going to reduce the amount of direct sunlight has implications not only for human health, but also it will lower crop production.
Well, are the people dealing with agriculture aware of the things that you're saying? I mean, certainly the farmers realize this. Does the Department of Agriculture realize this? Or has this been something that has been fairly well and effectively suppressed?
I think it's been effectively suppressed, along with the weather modification programs, along with the reason for the lack of vitamin D that people are experiencing now. The rickets epidemic is not being talked about as much as it was at one time. So, and the health effects from lack of vitamin D being absorbed through the skin are not being discussed. And we need direct sunlight, even to produce solar panel power production. So when we start to talk about more reduction of direct sunlight reaching the earth, we're talking about enormous impacts on not only our the availability of the food we eat, but also on human health.
And, you know, it's very interesting. Our friend David Ayub has commented and written about this. We hear a lot about shaken baby syndrome. We see a lot about battered children. And, of course, they make the diagnosis because they have broken bones and occult fractures. Oh, but, of course, Dr. Ayub happens to be a radiologist, and so he is an expert on the diagnosis of rickets. And he pointed out the majority of the children with battered children or children with the shaken baby syndrome are actually have rickets, and certainly people have been sent to prison for mistreatment of their children when they did nothing. But they're told, you either plead guilty or we'll send you to prison for life. And, of course, a lot of the people would rather take 6 months in jail or a slap on the wrist than be sent to prison for life. And so they admit to something they did not do. But there is an epidemic of rickets, and you're not hearing about it. And why do children get rickets? Because they have a deficiency in vitamin D. And why do they have a deficiency in vitamin D? Well, they're not getting getting outside enough to get sunlight. And if they do, they're not getting the sunlight because it's being obliterated many times by the artificial clouds or by these certainly domes that they're creating to reflect the sunlight. And, of course, when man begins to play God, you get into real problems. So Rosalind's on the front lines of this. Rosalind, I want you to tell our listeners once again how they can get to your website, because they are a tremendous asset of information. Go ahead.
Yes. My website is agriculturedefensecoalition.org, and you can go to the categories section. It will give you an alphabetical listing of many of the items that we talked about. There's a section on vitamin D, and it will tell you and give you government studies. It will talk about, in other words, what the health effects are from having a lack of vitamin D, not only when you're pregnant, but for your children and for older adults, and the brittle bones that this causes and the bending of the bones. So it's something that we all need to look at. But those aren't the only symptoms either. So it's really important that we learn enough about vitamin D so that we demand that direct sunlight is allowed to penetrate the earth and to bring us the sunlight that we need to absorb to our skin so that we have a healthier life.
Well, do you think that the average congressman or the average senator has any idea that these experiments are being carried out? Do you think that the average congressman or senator understands this concept of geoengineering, which is being carried out across America, indeed across the world today?
I don't think so. I think most of them prefer to ignore it. Or they prefer to think of it in terms of, well, this is some sort of conspiracy theory, but it's going to be our job to educate them. And I think that that's the important part, is to gather the facts about what's happening and then to start to educate all of our elected officials, or elect ones that are going to stand up and talk about this subject and do something about it.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You'd like to have a question for Rosalind. Rosalind certainly has volumes of this material. And once again, what are the websites people can go to get the information?
They can go to CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, or they can go to AgricultureDefenseCoalition.org. Or they can even visit your website for and obtain a copy of the presentation I did last year at your symposium on geoengineering.
And it was an excellent talk, and we do hope to have that out very, very shortly. And apparently Rosalind has done a program for Alex Jones, and she says that's available on his website. You need to get this information. You need to get people to understand this is really very real. And they are cutting down on our website, but not only that, they're poisoning the soil. They're poisoning the water. They're poisoning the whales. They're poisoning the fish. They're poisoning the trees. And they, at least some of them, know exactly what they're doing. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and give us a call. Certainly, well, now, is there anything new or recent that come up in this field? Because I know you've been away for a little while. We're glad to have you back again on the front lines of the battle. But certainly, is there anything that you've come up with recently going into the background of the program of geoengineering to change our atmosphere?
Yes, I had occasion to listen to a speech by David Keith, formerly of Calgary University, and he was talking about the plans to use aluminum oxide in and put it up into the atmosphere to reduce the amount of direct sunlight reaching the earth. Now, what was interesting about his speech, and I do have it on the geoengineering section of my website, what was interesting about his speech was that he began to go into a detailed description of how they were going to take, and they had been doing the research already, using Aurora Flight Sciences, it's a jet company, and also Boeing, and they were working on increasing the amount of water vapor that they're going to put into the atmosphere via these jets. And what they were going to do was to inject aluminum oxide gas into the water vapor. And they were going to form megatons of aluminum oxide particulates through this process. So not only were they going to be continuing to warm the earth because water vapor is a greenhouse gas, but they were going to add a gas at a certain rate of speed to the aluminum oxide in order to form ongoing megatons of particulates which would be released around the world. And he goes into great depth explaining exactly how the technique works in this presentation he did in 2010. And it's fascinating to listen to how he talks about that it's risky, they're going to have unintended consequences, but how he drives the issue that we must do the research. And I'm not convinced that we need to do the research, because in some cases we already are. But I'm also convinced that in adding more water vapor to our atmosphere, we're going to create more warming, especially in areas like the Arctic and Alaska.
Well, aren't there any international rules or controls to keep them from doing this? Isn't this really criminal activity to destroy the atmosphere? Doesn't this endanger human lives and human health?
Yes, it does. But they've taken an ethical detour, saying that, well, we have to save the earth. In other words, it's okay if we poison the earth, but we need to save it. And this detour that they have taken into this unethical ideas that they're promoting right now is leading us down a path where these few so-called climate scientists are trying to drive an issue which is going to affect all of us, but they don't want to give us a voice in any of the decisions, or maybe even a voice to say no.
Well, now, this gentleman's name is, you say, David Keith?
David Keith, yes.
And certainly he is available on your website. Could people Google his name and come up with any of this information?
Oh, absolutely. You just type in David Keith or Calgary University. You type in his name, or Ken Caldiera from Stanford. You just Google in their names, or Google in geoengineering, and their names pop up. They're everywhere because they're promoting this worldwide on a massive basis. And the thing is that people that would know that there's things, you know, we shouldn't be doing it because of acid rains and tree health, they are not speaking out, but a lot of people aren't informed about this topic either, because it's being driven on a worldwide basis. And they're even talking about now the UK Parliament, Bipartisan Policy Center says, oh, well, it's risky and has unintended consequences, but we must fund it here in the United States, and they're pushing that very hard. They're also talking about global geoengineering governance with the Royal Society. And these gentlemen, David Keith and Ken Caldiera, are on every group that's promoting this type of talk, this type of promotion. They're everywhere. And it's not many people, it's a few. But what they're doing is they're saying, well, they can bypass international treaties against this type of experimentation if they do it under the word research. And so they've hired legal firms and teams to research treaties now. Reguel is one. She's a lawyer, international lawyer. And they're talking about how they can get around the treaties to be able to poison the whole earth because they can call it research. And under that, these types of experiments are not barred.
Well, now, of course, is this being funded by Bill Gates? Who's actually funding this? Somebody's got to be putting the funding up for it.
Bill Gates has been doing a lot of funding. Also, David Keith has worked for a long time with Shell Oil. And there's a Shell Oil, there's an oil connection to this, because many of the oil companies would like to drill in the Arctic or Alaska for oil or natural gas.
And I suppose then the advantage would be they're going to be able to warm those parts of the world by putting their greenhouse gases up there. Is that the idea?
That's the idea. And they already know from Stanford studies and NASA studies that the jets in releasing the water vapor are warming the earth, and that the melting in the areas of Alaska and also in the areas of the Arctic are warming because of aviation-produced man-made clouds and water vapor.
Well, it's all fascinating. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap this up. Rosalind, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up today's program.
Okay. Well, I want to first thank...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Actually have a DVD on weather modification by Bob Fletcher. We have another one called What in the World Are They Spraying by Michael Murphy and Sydney. It's co-produced by our good friend Ed Griffin. So What in the World Are They Spraying? Excellent DVD on geoengineering. Weather is a Weapon by Bob Fletcher. We have a book on Sydney weather modification. We have a book on HAARP. We have a four-tape set on HAARP. You need to get this information and the other information that's available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I need to, at this point, remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, primarily listener-supported, and we have some wonderful and very generous listeners who have been very generous in supporting us, but we are, I'm afraid to say, behind. We sort of, well, maybe expand a little too fast this last year. It takes a while before certainly these stations are self-supporting. So if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. We appreciate the people who certainly are advertising with us. We appreciate the people who certainly are supporting us generously. And you could join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes of the month, or get our monthly newsletter. If you're not in a position to actually help us financially, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because basically behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. And it's very difficult for people to honestly understand that nothing goes on in the world today, in my estimation, without powerful spiritual forces being involved. We have a wonderful new book written by Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer. It's called The Secret of the Lord. How many times you've heard me say that they have infiltrated our churches, and they've changed the music and the message of the Christian church. Well, Pastor Chrismeyer, who incidentally you can hear on our website at RadioLiberty.com, if you go to the to Soundwave 2000, you can hear him 3 hours a day on our satellite feed, because he shares that with us. But he's written a wonderful book, The Secret of the Lord, and every Christian needs to read this book and understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, but we never talk about that today. And we've changed, as far as the public perception, the very perception of who God is and how he deals with his children. And this is why, in my estimation, half of the Christian marriages end in divorce today. 25% of our Christian ministers are into pornography. Certainly, about 40% of all children today are born out of wedlock, and certainly of girls 20 to 30, why it's even a much higher figure. You must understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And so you can certainly get our material by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. I would mention we do have another number of items we sell. I have some wonderful health products. And if you're a man over 50, over 60, and having prostate problems, we've got a great product. I've used it myself. It really does work, called Prostate Support. We have another one called Menopause Support. We have one called Immune Support. We have all of the things that you need, whether it be magnesium or iodine. You do need vitamin B12. The establishment's done everything they could to discourage it. You need a sublingual every morning. Recent studies show it prevents the shrinkage of the brain. And so we ask you, of course, to pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Chris, this is Friday at the last program of the week, and so that means that our guest is going to be William Grigg, the former editor of the New American Magazine, the current managing director or editor of the Republic Magazine. He certainly is a prolific writer. He has actually writes the Radio Liberty newsletter. I just couldn't continue writing that and continue doing all the other things that need to be done. So William was kind enough to take that upon us, and he's doing a great job with the Radio Liberty newsletter. And then, of course, he's with us regularly every Friday evening at this time. William, thank you very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure, and it's a real privilege to be asked to write that newsletter, and I promise that you'll have the next edition early next week, Monday, Tuesday at the latest.
All right, fine. Well, we appreciate that. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? Because there's so many things going on in the world today that are going to impact on the lives of the people in America for years to come. Go ahead.
I think in discussing what's going on in the world, we tend to focus, perhaps, in political discussions on the macrocosm. Sometimes it's best to take things down to the most intimate level and talk about one person and give that person a name by way of illustrating in microcosm the consummate evil that is being done to our country. And I want to talk about a fellow by the name of Kyle Thompson, 25 years old. He's from a little town in central Oregon called La Pine, which isn't far from Bend. I was just recently in that area to cover a story that I've mentioned before involving some really bizarre things that are going on with the police in a little town called Sun River. I don't know Kyle Thompson. I hadn't been aware of him until just a few hours ago when I was reading the local newspaper, the Argus Observer out of Ontario, Oregon. There's a headline to a story on the Associated Press, Oregon Marine gets Bronze Star for Afghan Heroism. A U.S. Marine corporal from La Pine who lost his left eye in an explosion while fighting in Afghanistan was awarded a Bronze Star for Valor last week. Kyle Thompson, 25, of the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion out of Camp Pendleton, California, earned the medal for what the military deemed courageous actions during two firefights in which his patrol was ambushed and he led his troops to safety. Both incidents occurred in Afghanistan's dangerous Helmand province, and each one happened before Thompson was injured by the improvised explosive device that ultimately ended his military career. He received a Purple Heart after that injury. He also received a Purple Heart for an earlier incident involving an IED that struck his armored vehicle. I'm very proud of him, Thompson's grandfather, Tom Tila, said. He's lost an eye and about five teeth, so he's had quite an experience over there. Bear in mind, once again, this is a 25-year-old man. Tila, who lives just south of Sun River, that's the little town I mentioned before, said he's probably the reason his grandson went into the military. Tila was a Marine who fought in World War II, and like Thompson, was awarded a Purple Heart after being injured in battle. Kyle Thompson, graduated from La Pine High School in 2005, was trained in reconnaissance after joining the Marines. He went to Iraq in 2008, completing his tour in 2009. He extended his enlistment so he could go to Afghanistan. Parenthetically, I believe that what happens in cases like that most often is that people get attached to people in their units. They develop bonds of fraternal affection that are really the motivation for what I understand, not having been in combat. I understand from my readings and conversations I've had with people that you fight for the people who are alongside you. You don't think in terms of politics. You don't necessarily think in terms of the grand designs. You think in terms of the mission granted, but your primary motivation is to protect your buddies. So I think a lot of enlistments are based on that type of intimate and fraternal concern, which is a wonderful thing. The problem I have here is that as we get deeper into the story, we find out why this guy was in Helmand Province to begin with, and why it was that these battles were being fought that cost this young man his left eye and left him disfigured for life. And it's just, once again, in microcosm, a perfect illustration of the waste of human lives and human potentials that this type of thing is committed constantly by the people that presume to rule us.
Well, because as we pointed out many times, we have over 500,000 people there in Afghanistan, the 50 members of Al-Qaeda. That's all there are. Go up, up on your search engine and type in Leon Panetta, 50 members of Al-Qaeda Afghanistan. That's all there are. William, you go right ahead.
You'd mentioned, of course, that there are only 50 members or so of Al-Qaeda. To the extent that Al-Qaeda can be described as an organization with some kind of cohesive structure, it's smaller than minuscule. It really is not even an appreciable-sized criminal syndicate, much less a global menace, let alone a globe-bestriding colossus of evil. I think it's more of a brand name than anything else. But as it happens, this young man, Kyle Thompson, this Marine from the little town of Lapine, Oregon, who was awarded the Bronze Star last week and lost his left eye in combat in 2010, wasn't even there to fight Al-Qaeda. Reading further in the story, we find the following. Thompson was stationed in Marja, a south-central part of the country that's considered a hub in Afghanistan's fertile opium trade. The poppy fields there and elsewhere in the Helmand province helped fund the Taliban's efforts. According to Thompson's Bronze Star citation, he was conducting combat operations southeast of Marja on July 30, 2010, when his patrol encountered five enemy fighters in a tree line 50 meters away. The two sides immediately began firing on each other. The citation states, Thompson guided his patrol throughout the kill zone and coordinated counterattacks despite withering enemy fire. Ultimately, he was able to get his patrol to safety by low crawling to a fortified position 100 meters away. Less than 3 months later, Thompson's patrol once again found itself in the middle of an ambush. It was October 21st, 2010, and the unit was on patrol in the upper Sangin River Valley when enemy fire poured down on it. With complete disregard for his own safety, the citation states, Thompson worked his way through open terrain in an attempt to reach a nearby compound. He was forced to the ground, and rounds snapped by his head. Undeterred, he continued to effectively suppress the enemy as the entire area erupted with enemy small arms fire, the citation states. As rounds continued to rip by him, he refused to leave his position and continued to suppress the enemy until the entire patrol was out of the kill zone. Thompson said he appreciates the honor, but he also said many of the troops in his unit deserve just as much recognition, if not more. Attacks like the two mentioned in his Bronze Star citation are common, he said, adding that he's been ambushed a number of times while on patrol. Once again, I want to focus on one important part of this story that illustrates that he was not in any way, shape, or form fighting Al-Qaeda, which, of course, would be quite a remarkable achievement given the extent of the territory involved and the tiny number of people who were associated with that group. He was there involved in either a counter-narcotics operation or perhaps even a pro-narcotics operation, given the convolutions of policy that are involved.
Hold the thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William Craig. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney, our guest is William Craig, and he's talking about this Marine who was wounded fighting in Afghanistan, and William is pointing out what's pretty very obvious. This man was not necessarily fighting Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda, when he was wounded. They were in an area where, of course, there was the opium trade. Now, the opium trade is being fostered by the Central Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's studied the world opium trade understands that the CIA is the largest seller and producer of opium anywhere in the world. And you can go up on the Internet and verify this. You'll never see it mentioned in the controlled media in the United States, but we have all sorts of books on this. We offer a four-tape set with four different, actually six sets of interviews with people who've been involved with opium trade. They will tell you this is a CIA operation, and they use the funding from that to further their black operations. Not only that, but one of the major functions of at least some segments of the CIA is to corrupt people throughout the world. Let me repeat what I said. The largest purveyor of drugs, narcotics, opium, cocaine, anywhere in the world is the American CIA. Gary Webb had written about this, but interviewed Gary on several times. He was a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter from the San Jose Mercury who was blackballed because he dared to tell the truth about the CIA involvement with drugs. He was actually blackballed, so he couldn't get a job anywhere within the media. This is covered in a book we carry called Into the Buzzsaw. And eventually, Gary Webb certainly continued writing about the CIA until he suddenly committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice because he wanted to make sure he was dead. But yeah. You go right ahead with him.
That's, of course, the sort of thing that we read about whenever people who get a little bit too close to the fetid heart of darkness of this proposition end up being removed from the scene. There are always these bizarre instances where people commit suicide in overly elaborate and thoroughly implausible ways. And what you said, Dr. Stand, about the CIA's role in fostering the narcotics trade is so redundantly documented it should be considered received wisdom by anybody who has any knowledge of the subject. And, of course, Afghanistan is the world's foremost exporter of opium, from which, of course, heroin and other opiates are derived. It is the chief supplier of opium for the heroin trade. 90% or so, more than 90% of the world's opium is produced in Afghanistan. And it's not difficult at all to find on-scene accounts from the Christian Science Monitor, from the McClatchy News Service, from the BBC, documenting that you have U.S. troops stationed in Helmand Province for the purpose of protecting opium fields. When they're not selectively eradicating opium fields, for whatever reasons might be behind that decision on the part of the strategic planners. And, of course, for the most part, we're not talking about the military. Once again, we're talking about the CIA. They're in charge of that entire area of the market. But some of the opium fields are destroyed, often for the purpose of creating strategic hamlets or creating airstrips or other infrastructure. And other opium fields are protected and might have something to do with the nature of institutionalized bribery in the management of the various tribal factions in Afghanistan. But the point is, this young man who lost his left eye and received a Bronze Star for the combat engagements he was involved in the Helmand province in 2010, was not fighting against the terrorists. He was most likely either protecting opium fields, or he was part of a mission selectively destroying certain opium fields and propping up the street value of heroin. And most of the engagements that are fought in the so-called war on drugs that take on an actual military character, and that I would contend includes the paramilitary raids by police officers in this country, SWAT team raids against small dealers. The large dealers, of course, are politically protected, or against people who have been maliciously and wrongly accused of being involved in the drug traffic. These are all part of a price support program. The best description for the war on drugs, I contend, is the narcotics price support program. You're keeping up the price, the street value of the narcotics trade, and that contraband is being used to enrich politically connected people and to provide the slush fund for the people to very thoughtfully arrange wars, revolutions, coups, and other mayhem abroad as part of the engine of misery that is the United States foreign policy. But it claimed this young man's left eye, and he's somebody from a tiny village, really, in Central Oregon, from a multi-generational military family, people who enlisted in the military out of a sincere desire to serve their fellow Americans and to promote the constitutional ideals and the ideals contained in the Declaration of Independence, and because they have a love, what's been referred to as a telluric love, a love of the soil of their particular part of the country. Out of a sense of duty and responsibility and love, they enlisted in the military, and this is the way their efforts are being wasted. It just offends me down to some elemental level of my personality, down to the depths of my soul, to see a young man like that be left disfigured and handicapped because of the grand designs of perfectly immoral people who don't care anything about the lives of any human beings, whether you're talking about Americans or Iraqis or Afghans. And in the case of what's going on in Afghanistan, you can actually go back and take a look at what was going on in 2010 when these battles were taking place, and you can see where the United States military and the CIA were playing a double game. The New York Times in March 2010 had a front page article by Rod Nordland talking about that offensive, that very offensive in which this young man was involved. He wrote, "The effort to win over Afghans on former Taliban turf in Marja has put American and NATO commanders in the unusual position of arguing against opium eradication, pitting them against some Afghan officials who are pushing to destroy the harvest." So you end up in a factional war here that has to do with the livelihoods of people who cultivate opium for many purposes, not just for the production of heroin, obviously. And these people who are shooting at U.S. Marines and other personnel, fighting personnel, sometimes the Drug Enforcement Administration has paramilitary squads that are involved in these activities. But these Americans are getting shot at by people who are protecting their livelihoods, protecting their farms and their crops. They're protecting the means of providing for their family. And, of course, that provides the people on the Afghan side of the equation with a motivation that is far more obvious, immediate, visceral, and potent than the abstractions that are being used to justify the continuing American presence in Afghanistan. You know, the reason why Americans are still mired in Afghanistan, as many of us predicted we would be over a decade ago, having learned something of the history of that region, having studied what happened to the Soviets, the Brits, and a host of other imperial powers going all the way back to Alexander of Macedon, it's pretty obvious that we were going to become bogged down in Afghanistan. But there's no reason for Americans to be there that has anything to do with the protection of the United States or an effort to punish people who've actually been involved in attacking this country.
But I think it's so vitally important that people understand, and we have heard this actually from people who've been in Afghanistan, that many times American troops are there actively guarding the poppy fields. In other words, they're trying to keep the Taliban from destroying the poppy fields, because the Taliban had pretty well destroyed the poppy fields there before the Americans came in and had chased the Taliban out. In other words, the Taliban did not approve of it. They felt it was immoral. They felt it was wrong. The Americans come in, they chase out the Taliban, and the poppy fields thrive again. And the Taliban want to come in and destroy them, and American Marines are there protecting the poppy fields. And there's not one American in 1,000 who understands that this is what's going on. And if you are in the Marines, you are told you will never reveal the truth, because if you do, you'll spend the rest of your life in Leavenworth. And these people are terrified to tell the truth. Now, we get these stories, he owes a knee by indirect methods, but I have no question they're true. And you certainly were more or less alluding to that in that New York Times article, referring to and suggesting that American troops are actually there, at least in some instances, protecting the poppy fields. Where is the outcry from righteous indignation?
Well, one of the things that's happened in that region for decades now is that ever since Zbigniew Brzezinski, the co-creator of the Trilateral Commission, acting as Jimmy Carter's national security advisor back in 1979, induced Jimmy Carter to sign a presidential finding authorizing the CIA to organize and to catalyze the group that became the Taliban in 1979 to help stage an Islamic revolution to precipitate the Soviet invasion and occupation of the country. Ever since that time, the CIA has been inextricably interwoven with the heroin trade, with the opium cultivation, refinement, and the trade of heroin in that region. That's something that was pointed out by Alfred W. McCoy of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's probably, I think, the foremost historian of the CIA's involvement in the global narcotics trade. He wrote a piece way back, once again, in 2010, talking about the same conflict that ended up wounding this young man, Kyle Thompson, from Lapine, Oregon. He mentions the following: just as these Marja farmers spoiled General McChrystal's media event — I'll talk about that media event in just a second — so their crop has subverted every regime that has tried to rule Afghanistan for the past 30 years. During that, of course, is 1980 is the date that he's starting at to calculate the 30 years. Now, the CIA's covert war in the 1980s, opium financed the Mujahideen, or freedom fighters, as President Ronald Reagan called them, who finally forced the Soviets to abandon the country and then defeated its Marxist client state. That's where it all comes from. And so you have fine-tuning, you have manipulation of the markets, but chances are that this young man lost his eye protecting the opium fields that are being used to finance Islamic radicalism in Afghanistan.
Because somebody has to fund the Islamic radicals. Where do you think the money comes for Al-Qaeda and Taliban? It comes from the Pakistani intelligence. And who funds them? Go up to the internet and write in CIA funds Pakistani intelligence. You'll find that we do. We're funding the people. We're killing Americans. Go right ahead, William.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
The water grow poppies. This is a means of financing themselves. And, rather than going in and offering them alternative crops and other means of making a living, why we actively help them to guard their fields from the wicked Taliban who want to destroy the product. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Taliban actually, as we've mentioned before on this program, in the late 1990s and all the way up through early to mid-2001, was considered an ally of the United States government in terms of controlling or beating back heroin production and drug trafficking in Afghanistan. And there are some people cynical enough to believe that's one of the reasons why they had to be removed, is because they had become an impediment to the narcotics trade. Bear in mind, just a couple of years before 9/11, you had the CIA install the so-called Kosovo Liberation Army in power in Pristina, the capital of the what had been the province of Serbia called Kosovo. They actually tore off that little chunk of Serbia, which was considered to be the equivalent to that country of, quite frankly, the Alamo, as far as Texas's notions of independence and its identity as a former independent republic and now as a state. The Alamo is sacred territory to Texans. Well, Kosovo, the location of the Middle Ages Battle of Kosovo Polje, or the Field of Blackbird, that was a very sacred territory to the Serbs as well. It was torn away from the Serbs and handed over to the so-called Kosovo Liberation Army, which was a group of Islamo-Leninists. Yes, there are such people. A group of Islamo-Leninists who were financing their operations through vice, through the drug traffic, drug trade in particular. Well, a couple of years later, you have the Taliban removed, and you have the drug trade revived in Afghanistan, which had been abetted or in some ways abated by the Taliban.
I think, William, it's important for people to understand that our government is very compartmentalized. One branch of government really doesn't know what the other branches of government are doing. No better example of that than John Loftus, who wrote, we've done a four-tape set of my interviews with John Loftus, and he was actually employed by the Justice Department to track down the Nazi sympathizer who'd killed 2 million Jews in Belarus during the German occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So he had actually was trying to track down these Nazi sympathizers, not realizing that, and he was working for the Justice Department, not realizing that another branch of the Justice Department was protecting these Nazi sympathizers, had brought them to New Jersey, given them government jobs, and was protecting them. And basically, this is how the system really works. It wasn't until years later when it became very obviously that the department of part of the Justice Department he was working for were very sincere. The other part was very sincere, too. They want to protect the Nazi sympathizers who killed 2 million Jews. The story is told in a book called America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, or in our four-tape set of interviews with John. That is, I'm sure, what's going on in Afghanistan, where one segment of the government has no idea of what the dark side of government is doing.
And that's how you end up with young men like Kyle Thompson coming back being wounded or disfigured or crippled or dead, because they end up being caught in this sort of Manichaean struggle, if you will, between two different strains of completely amoral power lust. You know, one of them wants to accomplish certain depraved ends in one way, and another wants to accomplish similar ends, if not identical ends, following a different course. But it doesn't really matter to the people who are pursuing those objectives. It doesn't really matter who gets hurt as long as they obtain what they're looking for. And once again, you go back to Alfred McCoy's study on the subject. What he points out is that this area in which Mr. Thompson, Kyle Thompson, 25-year-old Marine who got the Bronze Star for losing his left eye in the course of several ambush engagements with local Afghan guerrillas. That area, as he points out, had zero heroin production in the mid-1970s. But the CIA's covert war served as the catalyst to transform the Afghan-Pakistan borderlands into the world's largest heroin-producing region. As Mujahideen guerrillas captured prime agricultural areas inside Afghanistan in the early 1980s, they began collecting a revolutionary poppy tax from their peasant supporters. That's where this all comes from. And that's why you have these people who were decent, honorable, patriotic Americans who enlisted in the military, losing their lives, losing their limbs, losing their eyesight in these stupid engagements that have, once again, nothing to do with any colorable connection to protecting our nation's independence or individual rights. They're just helping prop up the price of drugs to keep the CIA rich.
And, of course, they don't dare speak about it when they come home, or they know that they will certainly be sent off to Leavenworth.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
William, you go right ahead and pick up the story.
I'd mentioned that I was recently in Sun River, Oregon, which is not far from Lapine, which is the hometown of this young man, Kyle Thompson. Actually, Lapine is where Sun River is where his father lives, or his grandfather lives, who's also a combat decorated Marine veteran from World War II. Well, I was there to visit Bob Foster, who's a man who's embroiled in a really bizarre case where the local police have accused him of stalking them And this is being done in order to drive him out of town because he criticized the corruption of the municipal government in this town of about 800 to 1,100 people. When I was visiting with Bob and his family in the warehouse where he maintains his business, which is servicing hot tubs, I noticed that he had some military-grade body armor displayed on the wall. He pointed out that that was body armor he had bought from a young man who'd served in Afghanistan as a Marine. He'd come back thoroughly messed up with PTSD and half a dozen other afflictions. He was somebody who was very loyal, a very hard worker for Bob Foster's business. He's since moved on to Colorado. But what he said to Bob Foster when he sold this, it was almost an act of ritual purging of his accumulated guilt and frustration over what he had seen and what had been involved in. What he said to Bob is that they made us do things in the course of our service in Afghanistan that I can't talk about and don't really want to remember, and that were entirely antithetical to what I had believed I was supposed to do when I took the oath of enlistment and became a Marine. He was very proud to be a United States Marine. He was very proud of the Constitution. He took his oath seriously. And in the course of his duties in Afghanistan, he did things that left him convinced that he was irredeemably hypocritical because of what he had been required to do, owing to the orders that were issued down the chain of command. Now take that young man, that psychically wounded young man, whose wounds are not as visible as those of Kyle Thompson, but are just as serious. Take him and multiply him by a couple of hundred thousand, and you've got some beginning understanding.
Hold that thought. William will be back here in just a moment, and I share you, I think this is probably one reason why we have so many of our veterans who are supporting Congressman Ron Paul today.
Yeah.
Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest first is William Greig, and we're simply talking about another young man that William had gone to interview in this area of Oregon there, and they had actually, this young man had been in the Marines in Afghanistan, and he told William that basically he had done some terrible things he was suddenly ashamed of, but he had carried out the orders he was given, and these were acts, and I don't think he elaborated on them.
No.
He's not allowed to. He has sworn an oath, and if he were to tell William what he had actually done, he would be subject to certainly being tried and sent off to Leavenworth or worse. I mean, they do kill our own people when they speak out on what's going on. If you doubt that, we have a 4-tape set of the interviews with the survivors of the attack on the USS Liberty, and they were all told that if they ever dared to tell what really happened the day in 1967 when the Liberty was attacked and 38 Americans were killed and another 178 were wounded, why, of course, they would be sent to Leavenworth or worse, and they knew what it was or worse meant. It meant they'd be killed. I mean, this is what the military does. It kills people. That's what they're trained to do. They're trained to kill people. And so for 20 years, everybody of the survivors of that attack, they were all afraid to speak out. Now, of course, they've come forward, and with a common voice, they're trying to get the word out. Doesn't do any good. The media's controlled. Nobody's ever going to hear their story. But this Marine William was talking to today is afraid to tell what he did. But he knew what he'd done in Afghanistan was not honorable. And the difficulty we have is that most people cannot understand. We have one government that believes in red, white, and blue, and idealism, and patriotism, and God. But there's a dark side to our government. And these, it's a very small group of people, but they're in control. And they control our military, and they control the banks, and they control the corporations. They control both political parties. They control the educational system. They control our great tax-exempt foundations. They control our churches. And they are the dark side, who most people don't even know exists. Go right ahead, William.
That's exactly right. I do need to qualify and clarify one point, and that is that I didn't speak directly with this Marine. He was an associate of Bob Foster. Bob Foster is the man I'd gone there to interview and whose case I've been writing about in both Republic and on Pro Libertate. And he had bought the body armor from this young man who'd come back shattered from his experience in Afghanistan. I have spoken with a number of others who have told me similar stories, but in this particular instance, it was Bob who spoke directly with that young man. And he had experienced, as an implement or an instrument of policy, if you will, the influence of the dark government you refer to, this sort of occultic force, that is to say, largely hidden. I use the term occultic in that sense. Part of it is hidden. The most important parts of it are hidden, but we can certainly see what these people are up to in terms of the visible impact they have on events that we can recognize. And one of the things that I think is causing a lot of the lasting trauma for Americans who are involved in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and heaven only knows where else, Yemen, Somalia, Latin America certainly, is that there's something anti-American in terms of our foundational principles and our unique perception of the world. There's something anti-American about being on the side of the occupiers. Whenever you're fighting a counterinsurgency, you're fighting the wrong war. Because when you're fighting a counterinsurgency, you're fighting against people who simply want you to leave them alone in their homes, their villages, their neighborhoods, and so forth. There are circumstances I can imagine in which a defensive war might involve the temporary occupation of a country that had attacked ours in order to ensure, by destroying their ability to wage aggression, that we are safe. But to remain garrisoned in a foreign country for year after year, or decades or longer, is completely contrary to any imaginable notion of authentic self-defense. So,
and yet, of course, we have our troops in Germany, stationed in Germany, over 50 years after the World War II ended, 60 years after World War II ended. Our troops are in Japan, over 60 years after World War II ended. Our troops are permanently stationed in South Korea, 55, 60 years after the Korean War ended. And you have to ask yourself, why do we have our troops stationed in Germany and Japan and South Korea half a century after the war ended? And, of course, they are occupation troops.
Yeah.
Germany and Japan and South Korea do exactly as they are told. We have our troops there. And if you don't go along with American policy, why, of course, there will be serious consequences for the leaders of those countries. Go right ahead.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Constitution that authorizes the existence of a standing army anywhere. Every appropriation for the army, of course, lasts only 2 years, and the idea is that the Congress actually could, up to the point of disbanding the military, rein in the amount of money that the army specifically, forgive me, you're supposed to maintain a navy under the Constitution, but the army has a contingent existence. The idea was that, for the most part, the states, their independent state militias would be in charge of what would have what would be the standing peacetime needs of national security, if you will. That's not something that the federal government was supposed to maintain in terms of a standing army, because a standing army, of course, becomes a garrison force, becomes an army of occupation domestically as well as abroad. So there's no authority in the Constitution for the United States to maintain permanent military bases anywhere outside the United States. There's certainly a very dubious, something very dubious about the idea that they'll be maintaining many bases within the United States either. But there's certainly no constitutional authority to be maintaining bases on foreign soil, much less, of course, occupying countries by force and maintaining bases in places like Afghanistan or Pakistan or anywhere in the Near East. And you have these so-called lily pad bases that are springing up now in the near abroad of the former Soviet Union, all the stands, if you will. And many of these are used now as platforms for launching remote-controlled drone strikes or black sites for CIA interrogation or rendition operations. A lot of those are used for that same purpose. And they involve contract hires who have experience working for the other side of the Cold War divide. You know, you have these dungeons in places like Poland, and I believe in former Czechoslovakia there was one as well that's been run by the KGB, and the CIA has been using them for torture and interrogation as well. But when you have Americans who have been raised with some appreciation of our history, however incomplete, where we understand that Americans are not supposed to be the guys who are occupying countries. Americans, the people, throughout the occupiers. And whatever you think of a given country, its culture and its government, it just doesn't follow that the United States government has any moral authority, let alone constitutional mandate, to be maintaining armies of occupation abroad. And at some level, I think people who have an attachment to our country as true patriots, people who love our country, rather than loving our country because the government is strong, they love our country because it's ours. We can understand how it is that people from other countries are motivated by the same sentiments, including people in the countries where our military is conducting occupation missions. And I think that people actually carry out those missions at some level find themselves thoroughly conflicted by the knowledge of what they're doing. And that wrecks somebody, that breaks something inside a human being who's equipped with a functioning conscience. I was just thinking about the conversations that I've had and listened to over the last week or so about what's going on in Afghanistan with the riots over the Quran burning incident and how people are talking about this as a manifestation of the medieval barbarism of the Afghans, that they get so attached to these books as sacred relics that they'd be willing to murder people in order to make a point over their frustration concerning the report that Qurans have been burned by U.S. troops. Now, of course, the word's coming down that the U.S. troops are supposed to be handing out Qurans rather than burning them, which is something that's not going to do anything to placate the offended sensibilities of the Afghans. What people don't realize is that just a few days prior to the incident, or the disclosure, rather, the incident involving Quran burning, there had been an airstrike in Afghanistan's, I believe it's pronounced, Kapisa province, in which 8 unarmed teenagers were killed by a drone-fired missile. The NATO official in charge of this mission, Air Commodore Mike Wigston, British, I'm certain, said that the teenagers, and these were people ages 12 to 16, who were poor shepherds. They were grazing livestock in the hills. They were killed in this mission because they were, quote, seen as adult-sized and moving in tactical fashion and were thereby perceived as an imminent threat to a local NATO patrol. They were seen as adult-sized, moving in a tactical fashion, meaning they weren't clustered together. They were spread out, and they were spread out because they were tending livestock. They were gathered around a fire, a campfire, beneath a rocky outcropping when they were killed by this missile strike. Now, this happened just a few days before a disclosure was made of the Quran burning incident. And one of the protesters was interviewed by the New York Times at one of these riots, said, and I quote, "This is not just about dishonoring the Quran. It is about disrespecting our dead and killing our children." Now, if our situation were somehow reversed, don't you think Americans would feel the same way if a group of American teenagers, let's say here in Idaho, in Treasure Valley in Idaho, who were up in the hills surrounding Payette where I live, were taken out by a Chinese missile fired remotely by a Chinese drone? Because they were seen as adult-sized and moving in tactical fashion. And then we were told later that there had been an incident in which Chinese occupation troops had been burning Bibles or perhaps burning Bibles and copies of the United States Constitution, because from the Muslim point of view, the Quran is their constitution. That's the way they perceive the world. Don't you think if we had a roughly analogous situation involving Americans, we would behave in the same way? You know, the golden rule requires that we examine situations in that fashion. We would examine how these things would affect us if our roles were reversed. And the point is, you don't have to be taught the golden rule in order to understand it. That's something that's written on our heart, part of our moral operating system. Even people who don't believe in the Creator recognize at some level that what we call the non-aggression principle is the foundational rule governing human relations, meaning that which is abhorrent to you, you don't do to somebody else. You recognize that the person you were confronting, who is different from you, is equal to you in terms of your responsibility to respect his person, his property, his individual rights. Even people who don't understand or don't recognize the Creator and don't overtly profess fealty and allegiance to his laws recognize that law if no other. But when you are part of this mechanism of imperial coercion, you have to suppress your moral understanding in order to do what you're required to do. That is to say, you're supposed to ignore it. You're supposed to shout it down. You're supposed to distract yourself from it. You're supposed to denature yourself, dehumanize your enemy. And at some point, that takes a toll that is years or decades in overcoming once one is demobilized from war.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a pretty simple thing, and yet if you follow it through, why, your life will be a lot better, which is one wonderful thing about being a Christian, why there are rules laid out, there are certainly restrictions, there are laws, and you obey those, why, you'll live happily. And if you don't obey them, you're leaving yourself open for all sorts of problems and complications. William, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your magazine, how they can get in touch with your writings and your essays, and, of course, how they can find your PayPal button. Go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I appreciate that. As you mentioned, I'm now working as managing editor for Republic Magazine. It's not a particularly lucrative engagement, which is one of the reasons why I do appreciate when people take the opportunity to offer donations by way of the PayPal button you insisted that I put on my blog. I do appreciate your persistence in that respect, Dr. Stan. But Republic Magazine is found at republicmagazine.com. The very busy news section of that website, the digital portion of Republic Magazine is accessible there at the website. And if you go to republicmagazine.com, up in the upper right-hand quadrant of the page, there's information for a toll-free number you can call to arrange a print subscription, or to sign up for a digital subscription, you can enter your name and your email and then click on a button beneath it that says Get Instant Access, and you can start receiving regular updates as well as a digital subscription to each issue of the magazine when it becomes available. That's republicmagazine.com. Just by way of telling people about some of the stories that we're covering, there's a video section and then an essay section. And in the essay section, we have several really provocative and, quite frankly, infuriating stories, because that's the nature of the news right now. One of them deals with a man by the name of David Sarkey. He's from a little town called Lebanon, Tennessee, retired, honorably discharged Air Force veteran, retired truck driver. He's somebody who's been involved in the prepper survivalist lifestyle. He's been accumulating food storage, and he has chickens and other livestock, and he collects guns. Well, he went in for a heart checkup in November, and he was on a National Geographic program talking about doomsday preppers, in other words, people that are survivalists, and he's profiled on this program, and he went back after the heart checkup, and he found out that he was actually doing okay physically, but his doctor decided that he was suicidal. And so they connived to have him declared mentally incompetent to seize his guns from him. And somebody who's never committed a crime, never been inclined toward suicide, as he points out, as a Christian, he can't commit suicide. But they decided, on the basis, I guess, of his appearance on this cable television program profiling his survivalist beliefs, that he can't be trusted with firearms. And so they disarmed him in Soviet fashion. They declared him mentally incompetent on the basis of his political beliefs. That's one sample of the sort of stuff that's available at Republic. My blog, Pro Libertate, is found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Once again, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or Google Pro Libertate, or Google William N. Grigg. You'll probably end up using some combination of the search terms with the Pro Libertate blog as the first return. At the bottom of every essay, there is a PayPal button for those who have access to a PayPal account and are interested in helping to underwrite my efforts as an independent journalist of limited means and vast obligations, I'm afraid. I'd really appreciate all the help that we can receive. I try to update the Pro Libertate blog once or twice a week now that I'm updating Republic's news section as much as three or four times a day. But once again, that's Pro Libertate, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, where the PayPal button can be accessed at the bottom of every essay, and republicmagazine.com.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and I encourage you to, if you're in a position to help William, go ahead and do it. You have been amazed at how much resistance I got from him to put in that PayPal button, but finally I knew that he needed the help, and every week we would call him for week after week, and finally we got the PayPal button up, and people have helped, and I appreciate it. I know he does as well.
Yeah,
well, I hope you enjoy the program this evening. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program tonight and for this week. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Dr. Stan, once again, it's a real honor and a blessing to be with you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security in plenty because of the thousands.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. Yes, we have a few advertisers, and yes, we have a few very generous contributors who either from time to time or regularly do help us, but we're still going behind. So if you're in a position to help, my wife just came to me today and said, well, you know what, Radio Liberty is having some problems. So if you are in a position to help us maintain our network of over 70 outlets every single week, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And people are hearing this, that they don't know what to make of it. After they've heard, listened for a while, they begin to connect the dots. And basically what this is all about is the fact that there really are secret societies. They've existed for thousands of years. And as George Bush said in his second inaugural address, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Now he threw in some fillers in there about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, when our troops, you know, fell row on row in opposition to slavery, when our people marched under the banner Freedom Now. They were acting on an ancient hope that was meant to be fulfilled. What is the ancient hope? It is the Novus Dorisichlorum. You'll see it on the back of the dollar bill beneath the occult pyramid, kept by the all-seeing eye, symbolic of Lucifer or Cyrus or call him what you will, Horus. But of course, the people on the other side know him as Lucifer. And of course, he is the god of this world. And if you give your life to him, you will prosper. You will prosper greatly. But of course, at the cost of eternal damnation. Understand this is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the DVD, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And if you like that, I suggest the next two DVDs, series of films. I don't like the fourth one, but we do offer the first three because I think it's straightforward. And it brings out the fact that there are two forces in America. There always have been. It started out with a small number of people dedicated to the occult who were here to utilize America's wealth and military to bring about a one-world government. And then the large Christian component that wanted a Christian nation. It's changed positions now where the occultists are in complete control of our political system, control the media, control our educational system, and they have infiltrated the churches and neutralized the Christian message. That's why, of course, Chuck Christmeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is so important. The Secret of the Lord, we recommend the book to you. We carry it. We think it's something you need to understand. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talks on the dark secret, the forbidden secret. The syllabuses go with them. You need to get Chris Pinto's wonderful 3-DVD set on the secret mystery of America's beginning. I suggest also, of course, the book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, if you want to know about from an occult point of view. We carry an extraordinary book. It's called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People, written by Wayne Peterson, who was recruited in the movement by a man named David Rockefeller. We carry his memoirs. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful